T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And the second hour of Upstate Outdoors is on tap. Of course,
right here,
106.3 WORD. And if you don't know this by now, you're listening to Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Talking about the outdoors.
Talking about
fishing.
And yeah, hunting. More fishing right now than some hunting.
Hunting.
We talked a little bit during the first hour of the show. We opened up with the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about wild hogs.
We need to be hunting for those.
We really didn't have any this year.
Yeah.
No, I had one on a camera, and it's kind of like I talked about in the blog. Had one on a camera in the middle of the night, and it was a big one. It was a big boar.
Random cruising through.
And he was just cruising. I think he showed up. He showed up two nights in a row, and that was it.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we don't have that problem right now.
Yep. So, and then we finished up the hour. Actually had two segments with Tom Mundy from Fish Stalker Lures. Talking about, actually, Tom's at the Cabela's up the street with us now, and he's pretty much starting
a
seminar now, but I think there's a second seminar going on today from like 3 to 4, so if you're listening, you still got time to go up there and catch that at the Cabela's on Woodruff Road.
Right up the street.
Yeah, and if you were headed for Lake Greenwood, then you can turn around and go to the Cabela's, because Tom was like, oh, it's too muddy right now, and I would agree with that, and, you know. So go find some place. But this hour, after the Roadkill Cafe, because Boat Girl's got some crappy to fry.
I'm staying with the theme.
Yeah, with the theme?
Yeah.
We're going to do, I don't know that this is going to be a new thing or not. We got a lot of good feedback last week when we were talking about depth finders.
And, are we going to talk about depth finders
No, we're
again?
Not going to talk about depth finders. We're going to talk about fishing accessories, and I kind of get your take on it and my take on it, because I think they're going to differ a little bit about whether or not each of these fishing accessories is a gimmick or a necessity.
Okay, that'd be fun.
And then we're going to talk with our buddy Bart Littlejohn from Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply. He's got a duck season report for us from the Mississippi Flyway. And also going to talk a little bit about post-deer season, you know.
What to
you're
do.
You're going
to
water all the food plots with your tears.
Kind of like me.
Yeah.
I miss it. I mean, I'm got a little taste of fishing fever, but I miss deer season.
They don't need any more water, by the way. All right, yep. So in the meantime, we got to head into the kitchen.
So sticking with today's theme, crappie is on the menu. This is not healthy. We did a healthy recipe last week, so we're going to mix it up.
This
is not healthy. But, you know, there's nothing like fried crappie. I mean, it's so good. And it doesn't have to be something you eat every week or twice a week. I mean, you can treat yourself every now and then.
Yep.
So these are Cajun fried. This recipe came from CullysKitchen.com, and it's actually pretty delicious. You need 1 pound of crappie fillets, third of a cup of yellow cornmeal, cup and a half of all-purpose flour, 1 egg lightly beaten, half a cup of milk, half a teaspoon of onion powder, quarter teaspoon of garlic powder, half a teaspoon of paprika, 1 teaspoon of dried parsley flakes, half a teaspoon of dried oregano, quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper, that gives you the Cajun,
yep.
Vegetable oil for frying, quarter teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of black pepper. So you rinse your fillets and pat them dry. We remove the skin. This is optional. You can leave the skin on, or you can remove it. I like it better
filleted
with no skin.
Yeah,
we don't even save. On crappie,
we don't
save the skin.
I don't like scaling fish.
You know, some fish is best with skin on, you know, on the grill. But since it's not a grilled recipe, I just like the clean fish with no skin. Place a half a cup of flour in a shallow dish like a pie plate. And in another shallow dish, you whisk the cornmeal, the flour, the onion powder, the garlic powder, the paprika, parsley flakes, the oregano, cayenne pepper, salt, and pepper, all the dry stuff. So in a bowl, you're going to mix together the milk and egg, whip it up a little bit. So what you're doing, this is like a double dip. You roll each fillet in the flour, and then you dip it in the egg mixture, and then you throw it in the cornmeal mixture. So flour, egg, cornmeal. So it's like a double batter. That would explain why it's not healthy. So you're going to cook your fish in batches. Your oil temperature needs to be about 375. You can also do it in an iron frying pan, as long as you get it hot enough. The trick is with frying is to not drop your oil temperature. So don't shove all your fish in the pan at the same time. Because you do that, and it's going to bring your oil temperature down. And that's what makes it greasy. Cast iron skillet, fry daddy, either or is fine. You're going to cook these until they're golden brown. And then throw them on a plate with paper towels and kind of let them drain a little bit. And you're good to go.
And I wanted to point something out. You were talking about it's not healthy for you. And you're absolutely right. There are some things that you can do.
Yes.
Okay, and this is kind of from some personal experience, especially with trying to cut out sodium, is...
And calories.
You get a lot of sodium from processed
food. We do convenience stuff. Salad in a bag.
We'll make a fish meal that's going to have a ton of sodium in it that you don't really need.
This is homemade fish meal.
Yeah.
With the cornmeal and the flour and the spices. And so you're basically making your fish batter from scratch. You can cut the salt back in it.
Yep.
And add some more pepper or add some more cayenne. And if you're trying to cut back on sodium, since you're making this from home, it's not processed, it's not prepackaged, there's ways that you can cut things that you don't want out of it.
And the other healthy thing that you can do to is you can use a oil with a higher smoke point, okay?
Like peanut oil.
And basically what we're talking about is a smoke point is where is how high can you get an oil before it starts to smoke and become
flammable,
ineffective and flammable. And most for frying fish, most of them recommend, above 375 degrees. And you want to keep it up there because the oil cooks, but it doesn't infiltrate
the meat or the fish
as much.
That goes back to what I was saying about if you cook it too low of a temperature, it's going to be greasy.
Yep, and some of those oils with the higher smoke points include canola oil.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people thought, that's the cheap stuff that you can buy in any grocery store. Pure olive oil. And that's the stuff that you spend an arm and leg. And I can't imagine. I can't imagine deep frying fish.
$13 a bottle.
No, for a small bottle. Avocado oil.
I didn't know that either.
Which I don't know where you get it in bulk. Vegetable oil, which is kind of a
borderline. Yeah.
Now this is what I've been seeing a lot of is safflower oil.
That is something that's kind of new.
Yep.
And it's got a higher point. You can bring it to a higher temperature.
Yep. And then the other thing that everybody knows about, because everybody uses this a lot, and probably my favorite too, is peanut oil.
Peanut oil is hot.
Yep.
And you can get it hot, and you can flash fry, especially if you've got, crappie are not huge fish.
Yep.
They're small. And you can flash fry them.
Well, the ones I catch are pretty good size.
Well, yeah, you like to say that. But, any kind of pan fish, you can flash fry at a hotter temperature, and that's going to give you less oil absorption into the fish.
Yeah. So. And like you said, the way you keep that temperature hot is that you have to fry it in small batches.
You don't want to dump
the whole fish fry in there at one time, because then it's and you really want to let the fish. A lot of people think about letting meat come up to room temperature. Do the same thing with the fish. And make sure that it's dry.
Dry.
Because you don't want to put water in there. So, well, let's go to our break now because we got Bart Littlejohn waiting in the wings. And no, I'm sorry, we don't have Bart yet. We're gonna talk about some stuff,
and then we got Bart.
That's right. We're gonna talk about some stuff. So we'll be right back.
Cool. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, and we were talking about crappie fishing, and it is, yeah, gosh, it's like, man, it's January, man. Where's all the wintertime hunting and all that? I guess because it's been so warm.
It has. All of a sudden, it's made me want to talk about fishing
and getting stuff ready. And
daffodils,
you know,
blooming.
Then starting this week, and it gets cold, it'd be like, okay, well, you know, still – couple weeks of duck season left, and we some rabbits and everything.
It's faux spring.
So we are talking about fishing, and in that line, I pulled up. Actually, didn't pull this off
you
anywhere.
Made it up?
I made this up. Actually, I was driving down the road, and I had this idea because we had the discussion last weekend about depth finders and just kind of kicking around generally. You know, depth finders.
And what they do.
And what they do. Boat Girl gave me an education, and so this is kind of me. This is my comeback.
Okay, you're going to come back on the accessories.
Talk about stuff I know more. I won't say I know more about, but.
Okay.
So basically, in if you look at social media and it's kind of funny. So you got a bunch of friends who fish and hunt and everything, and then, you know, these sponsored ads pop up.
And your buddies are also hashtag.
And so you start seeing so-and-so. These things like, oh, you got to have this. You got to have this. You got to have this. And okay. I put together a mental list
of
those things. They're like, you know, is this really something that you have to have? Is it a convenience or is it a necessity?
Okay.
So I got 9 things here, and we're going to kind of decide whether or not it's a gimmick or a necessity.
Okay.
And the first one on the list, and I'll let you go first, is fish grips. What's your view on a fish grip?
You're going to disagree with me, because when you and I first started dating,
but what's your opinion?
I have Boga grips.
Yeah.
You do not have Boga grips. The Boga grips that are on our boat were pre-you.
Yeah.
And the reason I have them is because sometimes in Florida and other places of saltiness, you get stuff to the boat that I do not want to put my hand in its mouth.
Yeah. And so you say the fish grips are a
we don't
a
use
necessity.
Them. I do not use them much.
Yep.
But it's nice to have them on the boat.
And to me,
I'm not going to go as far.
Actually, it was kind of a gimmick because I had a set when I was hot and heavy into kayak fishing a lot. Man, you had to have the plastic floating fish grips.
I don't even know where they're at now.
And it's like ah.
My Boga grips are in the console in the boat.
Yep.
That's just in case something scary comes up that I don't want to touch.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
All right, so number 2 is pliers, which is either straight or angled.
I like the cheap Rapala or Berkeley or whatever, those $12 ones, the
Rapala.
Skinny ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rapala.
Yeah.
The cheap ones, the $12 ones.
But if we're talking about needle nose pliers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree on that. That's something
We've had some of those $40 ones, and they don't last. I like the cheap ones.
And the other thing is you have those specialty fishing pliers, you know, they have the little side cutters on them. And the first thing that happens on those little side cutters is if you don't keep them tightened down, they get out of whack, and then the first time you pinch them on something,
it strips out the screws into the aluminum that holds the blade.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, when you try to cut wire with them, so...
I like the
cheapest ones because you're going to go through them. And then number 3 is line cutters. So I don't – okay.
I do have a pair of braid scissors.
Yeah.
I don't know how often they get used. I mean, I do use them.
For when you're fishing braid.
From when I'm fishing braid. It's not a line cutter per se. They came from the Cabela's. They are braid scissors.
Yeah.
That's so I don't get fuzzy ends.
I used to religiously carry a pair of nail clippers. like on a little string around my neck.
Really? Yeah. Now you just use your teeth.
Yeah, I probably have to go back to that. But actually, yeah. Going back to the and there again, that a lot of that goes back to what size line do you use.
I cut my hair more often with my braid scissors than I do braid.
Well, I use if I'm using more than 15-pound test, that's
unusual.
Yeah,
you need something.
So, and I can cut that, especially mono, I can cut that with the side cutters on the cheap pliers.
Yeah. All right, I agree.
Number four is a knot tying device.
I'm going to say
can
no.
Can we agree? No, that's
never
a gimmick.
Never had one, never used one.
All kind of gimmicks. If you don't know how to tie knots, there ain't no device going to help you. What about number five, a de-hooking device?
We have one in the boat because it is the law, reef fishing the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Yeah.
If you are reef fishing, you must have a de-hooking device. Have we ever used it?
Don't pliers count as a de-hooking device?
I don't know. I have one that's specifically what it's for.
Yeah.
Have we ever used it? I haven't. Have you?
I have one on my little boat that actually I made, and one year I made a bunch of them and gave them away for my crappie fishing friends, because crappie are bad when they're really biting. They'll get a jig down deep, and this is actually it's a deer antler or part of an antler, and it's got a little aluminum dowel rod in it that you use to just kind of poke down in there
and get it out.
It's got a little gap in it, and you catch the hook on that and push it out and then pull the whole jig out.
Okay.
So, I use them from time to time.
Every now and then.
Number six is knives, a knife.
You're talking to the woman that has a fillet knife in my tote bag.
That's right, and we used it.
We used it to field dress a deer.
Yeah,
we're down at deer camp. I'm learning all about field dressing a deer because PG's oldest son, Clay's down there, and he's really good at that kind of thing. I was the only person there that had a good knife. And I'm like, I reach into my tote bag that I keep all the time, and I'm like, I got a fillet knife, and it's sharp, and we field dress that deer with that knife.
Because we were skinning. He wanted to skin the deer out. Now, I could field dress it with pretty much anything because that's just hacking the body cavity open.
Yeah.
But we are talking about fishing.
We're talking about fishing. I have a fillet knife all the time.
For cleaning fish, I use an electric fillet knife. I don't, and that's a necessity. But I don't take it with me when I'm fishing. So
I got you back.
I got a pocket knife with me. I mean, I'm like most guys. I carry that. Number seven is a hook sharpening stone or device.
No. I don't have one.
Nah.
I mean, I do carry spare hooks because hooks do wear out. And if, you know, I've missed five fish in a row, yep. I know I need to get some hooks out.
That's what I do. I don't fool with trying to, because most of them are laser sharpened or chemically sharpened. I know there's bass fishermen out there that'll get out there and do it, but if I think a hook's getting dull, I'm going to replace the whole hook.
Yep, I'm with you there.
Number eight is a multi-tool. I don't mind it as long as it's got a needle-nose plier on the end of it.
Multi-tools are like, ooh, I need that. And then I don't ever use it, and then it gets rusty, and you can't get it open once it gets rusty.
Yep.
That's just me.
So is that a gimmick?
No, I think it's a good idea. I think you should squirt some WD-40 on it every now and then so it doesn't get locked up.
I think the whole idea of a multi-tool, usually, like I said, if I have a multi-tool that has needle-nose pliers on the end of it,
then that one's okay.
I'm going to use it as needle-nose pliers, and I may or may not use, like, the knife for something, but, you know, the screwdriver and the this and the D-hooker and all that. Nah, I don't. To me, that's just kind of a gimmick.
I get that.
Yep. And last thing on the list are wrenches, channel locks, and regular pliers.
Yes, on the regular pliers. I carry a 9/16 wrench in case I need to take the battery cables off the motor onto a trolling motor battery, like cranking batteries did.
Of course you do.
I don't carry channel locks, but yeah. I know you do because of rod holders.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, because most of the time I got rod holders that need adjustment or something like that.
I keep tools, screwdrivers, you know, necessity stuff, not necessarily for fishing, but for boat maintenance in case something you need to do something out
which
there.
Which is not per se fishing.
But still.
But you are a boat girl.
That's right.
So you can't leave the dock without tools. All right, well, there you go. That's our list. And if you got some more, you can put those on our Facebook page and tell us what you can't leave the dock with. And
maybe, that was fun.
Maybe we'll cover them in a future segment on Upstate Outdoors. All right, now we do have Bart Littlejohn waiting in the wings. So let's go to our break. When we come back, we'll talk to Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply down in Pauline and find out what we need to do for the deer.
Yay, we got to do something. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, well, our next guest is also no stranger to Upstate Outdoors, but sort of missing during deer season. We got Bart Littlejohn, general manager at Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply in Pauline, South Carolina. Bart, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Wow, so it just seems like, I mean, I talk to you all the time, but we haven't talked with you on the radio.
He's been out in the woods.
Well, yeah.
It's hard to talk on the cell phone when you're in the deer stand.
Yeah.
That is true. And texting, you know, texting's kind of tough to get to.
What, are you going to read his text
on the radio? Yeah. So as far as deer season goes, Bart, how'd your season go this year?
It went pretty good. Definitely saw a lot of deer. I saw the deer several times, but never got to connect with him. He always was a little smarter than I was, but that's standard. but it was pretty normal. It was pretty average. Surprisingly, you know, that kind of dry spell where you don't see a whole lot of deer about the 3-week time from Thanksgiving to, you know, December, it was actually good this year. I saw more deer than I normally do.
Yeah, during the lockdown. We planned our trip to Florida.
We went fishing.
Thinking we were going to outsmart the lockdown, and we got outsmarted by the wind in South Florida. And the
deer were moving.
And, yeah, the reports up here was, man, I'm killing a lot of deer and seeing deer and stuff like that. So I have no idea. There's no way to predict these animals.
Oh, it changes year to year. You got to watch the weather, watch the wind, and play to your favor.
Well, now you just returned from a hunting trip out to Arkansas and doing some duck hunting. You got a Mississippi Flyway duck hunting report for us?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. We left December the 28th, came back on the 3rd, so we were roughly about a week out there. It wasn't too bad. We were around the DeWitt area, Stuttgart area, mainly hunting public land by Amita, White River. And it was pretty good. Weather was a little rough to start with, but then it started to cool down a little bit. And beginning of the week, I will say there were a lot of stale birds or a lot of birds that had been there for a while. So you really had to be on your P's and Q's about your setup, motion in the vehicle, soft calling. But all in all, it was a decent trip. We killed ducks every day, had one decent little goose hunt. So it was a successful trip for sure.
Was that out in the field where you were doing the speckle belly goose hunt?
Yes. Yeah. That was definitely a field hunt for sure.
Man,
those birds in the water.
I have done that a couple of times, and I mean, I've seen it on TV, but the two times I've been out there, we've never, you know, we're in the layout blinds and everything. And man, when that happens, it seemed like it would be a great hunt, but I've just never had that happen when they're like just going to crash, when they're dive bombing on you.
Yeah, it's like any type of hunting. You got to be there when the birds are there, but they when it's good, it's great. It really is. And once you put those birds on the grill, and you'll never go to any other bird.
They're, I've heard that.
Really, it's 100% the best wild game that I've ever eaten.
I've heard that. So.
We've watched them on a hunting show do it, but you know they don't talk about the 3 days where they, you know, didn't have such good luck. You know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They're gonna give you the 1 or 2 days where they was jammed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy actually throw the MP3 player as far as he could throw it out in that field because they wouldn't land, and he was using that for the calling. You know, had the speakers out and everything. He was so mad he threw the MP3 player just. Threw it as far as he could.
Hey, that's how it goes. But you'd be surprised. A lot of people don't realize it, but those, even the white geese or snow geese, those geese are very, very smart.
Yeah.
They're and especially the older ones, they can be upwards of 15 to 20 years old.
Oh,
and if you don't have a good young hatch, you know, birds that are juvenile, easy to call to, easy to trick. You know, it's really tough. They're just like a, you know, a 5-6-year-old buck that you're trying to kill. They're pretty smart. They've seen every trick in the book.
And there's 1,000 of them up there, not just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of bucks, Bart, wanted to, before we run out of time in this segment, wanted to talk with you about post-deer season. Boat Girl's worried about her deer because we've been feeding them, you know, high-octane corn all season long. She's worried about them being hungry. So what's your advice? I mean, obviously you got food plots that have been hammered, but is there anything folks can do at this time of year now to kind of help tide the deer over?
Yeah, and it is a downfall to a baiting rule, I would say. A lot of people feed corn during deer season, and so the deer are supplemented a little bit, not that corn does a whole lot for the deer besides attract them, but then they immediately stop after deer season, which is a downfall. But planting those food plots and making sure you have a good cereal grain in there, such as wheat, rye, oats, but also having some brassicas in there as purple top, kale, or rape, those plants will, you know, they'll progress all the way through February and March, and the deer will actually start to eat on that actual purple top, not just the greenage. That's one way to supplement them through there. A lot of people go ahead and start putting their mineral licks out a week or two after deer season. And a lot of people start to supplemental feeding with protein pellets or even keeping their corn feeders going. Anything you can do to keep that protein content in them and to keep that energy up is not only good for the bucks, but it's also good for the does that are carrying young so that they can have a successful birth. And that fawn has a much better survival rate if they come out of a healthy mama as opposed to a mama that's malnutritioned.
Yeah, and we're not talking about feeding. Now's also the time you want to get out there and start trapping those coyotes and egg eaters.
Absolutely.
Because that's the healthiest thing you can do for a fawn is take away something that's going to eat it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And that's one thing I'm very glad to see in the last couple of years at the store. We've started to sell a lot more coyote traps. We started to sell a lot more raccoon or possum traps. They call them dogless traps. And a lot of people are really picking that up, and they're really seeing a difference. As long as you keep your predator rate down, not only for the coyotes and bobcats, but you keep your coons and your possums down and your skunks, that's going to also help your turkey population out tremendously.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think about that, but your trapping's going to help a lot with the turkeys because everything out there wants to eat eggs.
Your number one predator, in my opinion, for the turkey is definitely your coons, black snakes, and possums. Your egg eaters are what get them. You know, your bobcats and coyotes and a few hawks might get some of the poults, but your egg eaters, they get them from the start.
Yeah, that's why a lot. And I don't know who it is putting up the money for all this possum PR that's out there about, oh, we eat ticks and we're friendly
and
we
eat turkey eggs.
Yeah, nah, you eat turkey eggs, buddy. You know, you eat turkey eggs like the rest, you die like the rest.
They got to have something to talk about, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think they've been hanging out with squirrels. Squirrels got better PR. They're just a rat, you know, tree
with
rat.
With a fluffy tail.
But, hey, as far as planting something now, is now a time that would be beneficial to not only deer but other wildlife and trying to do some planting?
We're kind of in a limbo area. You could probably still plant some wheat or maybe some rye grain, and it will germinate. It will be very, very slow to grow, but it will still germinate and still establish itself. A lot of people like to go out there and put some annual ryegrass out. You can do that as well. You just got to be careful with annual rye in a food plot or any area that you plant because it's very aggressive. If it goes to a seed head,
you're fighting
ryegrass for years to come after that.
Yeah.
But you can plant a few things. If you already have established food plots, preferably having some cereal grains and having those brassicas, purple tops and turnips in there. That's the best case scenario, and then just wait until springtime and come in with some soybeans and iron and clay. That's perfect scenario. But if you don't, you can come in and top dress some wheat on your road beds, or you want to establish a new food plot somewhere. You know, you could go ahead and put some wheat or some rye grain in there.
That's We're gonna do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Bart, if folks want to come get some more in-depth information on what they need to plan or how they need to plan it, or get a little impromptu trapping seminar from you, give them the information where they can find you at.
Yeah, absolutely. We're located in the big city of Pauline, South Carolina. It's 2640 Highway 56. If you go through the blinking light and you close your eyes, you'll miss us. But it's not hard to find us at all.
And is there a phone number where they can call? Make sure, because you guys are not open on Monday. I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah. So we're closed Sunday, Monday, open Tuesday through Saturday. Our phone number is 864-585-0935.
Awesome. Bart Littlejohn, Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply, thanks for being on the show with us. Great interview as always.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We got to plant some stuff.
We got to plant stuff. Got to feed deer.
No, on the road beds is a great idea. Like on the sides of the roads, we could put some grass in.
I got you. We'll talk about that. But we're going to go to our break first, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap up today's show with our calendar of events and today's parting shot.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
All righty, it's calendar of events time. Take it away, Boat Girl.
So, next weekend, January 23rd through 26th, is the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. This is the 50th annual Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. It's coming to the Greenville Convention Center, January 23rd through 26th. The show will host the latest models of boats, including fishing, pontoon, speed, ski, cruisers, and personal watercraft. Additionally, you'll find boating accessories and everything that you need to start the season off right. Show hours, Thursday and Friday, 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday is 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sundays, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Admission is $7 for adults. Seniors 65 and over is $6. And students 6 to 18 is $6. Children under 6 are free, and parking is $5. For more information, call 864-233-2562. And we're going to be there doing our show live.
Noon to 2.
Noon to 2.
Yep.
So y'all come wave at us. We'll have the headphones on talking.
Yep.
Also, February 7th, 8th, and 9th, it's Crappie Madness time again at Cabela's in Greenville, sponsored by Ben and Pulse. Crappie fishing seminars are presented by the host of Upstate Outdoors, my sweetheart, Philip Gentry.
He's a crappie fisherman.
He is a crappie fisherman. Friday, February 7th at 7 p.m., Saturday, February the 8th at 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., and Sunday, February 9th at 2 p.m. Register to win fishing prizes and learn all about how to catch America's favorite game fish.
Yes, statistics prove that.
At least PG's
No,
favorite.
Statistics, nationwide statistics prove that. More people fish for crappie than they do that old greenfish.
I like the greenfish. They fight
good.
Doesn't
mean that you're in the majority.
February 29th is the Lake Hartwell Cat Chasers' first annual Winter Blues Tournament on Lake Kiwi. $50 entry fee, optional $10 big fish. This is at High Falls Ramp in Seneca. Registration is 5:30 to 6:30 a.m. prior to the tournament. Lines in at 7 a.m., lines out at 4 p.m., and the weigh-in is at 5 p.m. This is a live-release tournament of three fish. If you have any events that you would like to share on the radio, you can contact us by email at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com.
And we'd appreciate it.
We'd appreciate it.
Yep. So now's the time in our show when we talk about crazy people.
If we do that. Besides ourselves.
Okay, well, no surprise to anyone. This came from wiredtofish.com. That's not the no surprise. This is a story about a Florida woman who hurls a kitchen pot at her boyfriend because he was fishing too much.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Pasco County, Florida. Well, there's always a first time for everything, and this happens to be one of those times for us. This is coming from Wired to Fish. This is completely factual, by the way. A Florida woman, a 25-year-old Katie Lou Gottlich, has been charged with misdemeanor domestic battery after allegedly throwing a kitchen pot at her boyfriend's head on Wednesday. This happened back over the summer, so it was Wednesday back during the summer.
Yeah.
Her reasoning, he had been fishing too much and not doing enough around the house. Okay. The victim called 911 and stated that he'd been out fishing for a few days, and when he got home, the assault happened. Pasco County officers say that Gottlich chucked. She chucked it. Now, that ain't just threw it. She chucked it at him.
That's Southern for slung it.
She chucked it at him. She chucked a large pan at the man's head in the backyard while he wasn't looking. So she sucker chucked it. She allegedly fled the house after the incident occurred, but the officers did find the pot in the backyard. You know, this would make complete sense if we were talking about pot in the sense of marijuana, not
a cooking
utensil. She
chucked his marijuana. I don't know.
They did not, however, see any immediate sign of injury on the man, except for he crazy. And he'd have
a
psych
eval. They all
crazy.
Yeah.
Gottlich was later found and arrested and held on $250 bond and was later released from custody. According to Newsweek, she has been arrested multiple times for domestic battery.
So she crazy.
Well, and I don't know if this is her picture or not. It says Pasco County Sheriff.
I think it is.
If that's her picture, yeah,
she
dude.
Crazy. She got crazy eyes.
Dude, they need to put a picture of the guy in there, too.
I just want to say this.
Is this one of them things where the eyes are too close together?
Yeah.
Because you always tell me, you can tell
crazy
if somebody's going to be.
You know, like the people's mugshots that come out, they're like serial killers or mass murderers. Their eyes are always like funky looking. They have got crazy eyes.
She told me when we were dating, she said, I'm glad your eyes aren't too close together because I couldn't date you. She said, people whose eyes are too close
You're
together
telling
are crazy.
All of upstate South Carolina my pet peeves.
Yeah. I just, she'll tell me, I met someone there. I just don't like them. Their eyes are too close together. They got crazy eyes.
No. I know how hard my husband is to deal with if he hasn't fished enough. So the last thing I'd be doing is keeping him from fishing. Because there are days that I've been like, look, you just need to go fishing.
Yeah.
Get your head right. Go catch something. I'll see you after
dark.
Or
go catch something or go kill something.
You need to go kill something. Yeah. I said that over deer hunting season. I'm like, look.
And that's been the truth.
You need to go get you a deer in the freezer. Seriously.
That makes me sound like a psychopath if I need to go kill something.
No, a deer, Goofy.
Yeah, but still.
Y'all hunters know what that's
like. I had
the
same thing Bart was talking about. Man, I was out during deer season. I was ready to go. And, oh, look, there's a nice guy. He'll be good next year.
A lot of that. They'll be good next
year. Too many he'll be good next year starts to, you know.
It does, but you know what? You have matured a lot as a hunter since your young days where you just like, I'm going to get me four deer.
And then December rolls around. We ain't got nothing in the freezer. And it's like, pow, 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 pow.
Well, you know, there's a difference. We trophy hunt.
Yeah.
And we meat hunt.
Sometimes I'm a trophy hunter.
Sometimes I'm a meat hunter.
That's the
way
that
goes. Just depends
on
what the freezer looks like.
Awesome. Well, we got to go for the end of the show. Want to thank our guest today, Mr. Fish Stalker Tom Mundy, and also our buddy Bart Littlejohn of Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply. I encourage everybody to come out to the boat show next weekend. We'll be there live noon to 2 out at the Textile Hall. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Y'all have a great rest of the weekend right here at 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.